Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Mind your business with the breakfast huddle, only on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle. We are going to turn our attention on Mind Your Business to the global supply chain. We've taken it for granted for so long, and then COVID-19 hit.
Mm-hmm. And therefore, crisis. And the crisis has been making headlines for the past 2 years. No signs that it's going to come off the front pages as one of the biggest focuses for companies around the world at this time. Can technology really be the answer, though, to tackling the world supply chain issues as they continue to be exacerbated?
Yeah, out of crisis, solution. The next company we are talking to aims to do just that without owning trains, planes or ships of its own. But as one of the fastest growing players in a space called digital freight forwarding, the 8-year-old company is already the world's 7th biggest buyer of cargo room on Trans-Pacific routes.
Sounds impressive. Pretty much any Asia-bound ship will have at least one or two containers filled with California almonds or auto parts put there by Flexport software.
Let's find out how their software can help the world overcome their supply chain issues. Ryan Peterson, who is founder and CEO of Flexport, is on the line. Ryan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be quite interesting. Let's find out a little bit more about Flexport from you. Tell us about the business model as well.
Yeah, so Flexport's a technology platform for global logistics. We make it easy for businesses to ship cargo anywhere in the world, connect with their customers or their vendors, and try to make that process really seamless by streamlining all the data, making it easy to connect with those factories or those customers, get the data that you need for compliance, and then connect with all the underlying asset owners to move the cargo. So it's sort of the ability to ship anything, anywhere, do insurance, compliance, finance the products, and get it delivered on time. Well, hopefully on time. It's been hard, as you mentioned, with these supply chain delays, but do our best and give people predictability, at least, about when things are going to arrive.
That's the thing. So you focus a lot on data analytics and reporting. So illustrate for us how all of this can actually allow businesses to make some strategic supply chain decisions that will help them overcome the current problems.
Yeah, well, I think the biggest problem right now is uncertainty around transit time. When are things actually going to get delivered? Can your factory produce the goods on time? Do they have the components that are needed? And then once they have produced them, can you get it on a ship? And how long is that ship going to take to arrive? What are that transit times? So we've seen this huge delays. It used to take from the time goods were ready, let's say at a factory in China, to when they were delivered somewhere, really anywhere in the world, but take the United States. The delays have basically tripled the transit times over the last, since pre-pandemic levels. And they've kind of been stable over the last 6 months, but it's very hard for a business to plan when there's volatility. You know, it's okay right now as long as it's stable, where it's taking about 120 days. But if the customer thinks it's taking 90 days and then it takes 120, they're going to have 30 days with no inventory, and their CEO, their sales team is going to be pretty upset. And so that's where we can step in and really help them get predictability on exactly what that transit time is based on what the trends are, what's happening on that trade lane, what is actually going on, what can they expect so they can plan and run a better business.
Predictability is good. I received a 3.7-liter water bottle I ordered 3 weeks ago, just yesterday, and it was from Asia. Ryan, tell us about your footprint in Asia and how can you help such situations?
Yeah, so we've been growing really fast. We probably have about 500 people in Asia now. We have a big office in Shanghai, Shenzhen, Hong Kong, Taipei, and right here in Singapore. In fact, at the start of the pandemic, we had 5 people in Singapore. We've grown the team here now to 65 people, and are really building up our presence in the city-state here.
The thing is, you're providing solutions for supply chain problems that were exacerbated by COVID-19, but you yourself were affected by COVID-19. Tell us how exactly the pandemic hit you.
It's really disrupted supply chains. First off, you had this big surge of demand for goods and not enough capacity, especially on the air freight side. About half of all the air freight in the world flies in the belly of passenger planes, and many of those passenger planes are grounded. And so we're not flying, or we're flying limited schedules or different schedules. And so That's just a huge problem. And then right at the outset of the pandemic, we saw worldwide just a shortage of personal protective equipment, masks, gowns, things for doctors and healthcare providers. And so, yeah, this real problem of, like, not enough capacity to get the products delivered. At the same time, it was a real urgent need. So Flexport was able to step in at that moment, and we actually chartered over 80 passenger planes that were grounded at the time and put them back in the air and filled them with masks, filled them with, you know, the seats, the overhead compartments, and really delivered almost, in aggregate, it was almost half a billion units of PPE that we delivered to hospitals on five continents. So we feel really proud of that work.
Ryan, I'm guessing that during that time, because things were hard, you guys had to lay off workers. And now that we're in this sort of recovery phase, are you able to catch up in enough to fulfill that demand?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we did. We laid off a small group of people. It was kind of our office management team, our marketing events team, and some of our recruiters, because we knew we wouldn't be hiring as much. I think it was a big mistake in hindsight. We've actually grown since that time. We had about 2,000 people at the start of the pandemic. Now we have 3,000. So we've been, you know, it's kind of sounded silly to lay anybody off. We should have just been repurposing people. It was one of the bigger mistakes of my career that I had to learn from.
What led to that decision, though, at that time? I mean, what do you think led to that, what you call a mistake? And how might you do things differently in the future in terms of making those decisions, anticipating problems in general and solutions as well?
Yeah, well, that mistake was caused by fear. I think we just had real fear. We saw a lot of our customers were canceling purchase orders, canceling orders they'd placed to their factories, canceling bookings they'd made with us. We saw about 40% decline in bookings in a 1 month period right at the start of the pandemic. And so we looked at that and said, wow, we're in, you know, we got serious problems here. We need to start cutting back expenses, hiring freeze, et cetera. So, you know, in hindsight, I don't know. I might have made the same decision again, looking at the data that we had at that time. But at the same time, we've really seen it's very hard to recover trust with your employees if you do a layoff. And in the end, you know, demand has boomed. Our business is almost, we grew in 2019. We did $650 million in revenue. And this year we're going to do $5 billion in revenue. So the growth has been insane, and we need those people. We let go of some good people, and I really feel bad about it.
Yeah. We'll send him this podcast. Ryan, though, you're talking about, on hindsight, mistake, lesson learned. Right now, I bet you got one eye on the Russia-Ukraine conflict. How are you managing that situation, bearing in mind these lessons that you've learned?
It's a real tragedy what we see there, and we like to believe that we're kind of in this post-historical moment where we don't have to think about large-scale violence like that, but it's, yeah. So it's really tragic, obviously. We've done a few things. First off, it's been a real disruption to the air freight market, and because most air freight going from Asia to Europe has to fly over Russia, and that market has been really, those planes are now having to, we had to reroute all of our flights that we charter. And a lot of air freight flies in Russian and Ukrainian air cargo planes that are grounded. So that, we had to really work for our customers. How do we manage that? At the same time, as a logistics platform, we have real capabilities in getting goods delivered. And we know that there's a humanitarian crisis going on in Ukraine and in refugee crisis in neighboring countries. Something like 6 million refugees already have fled the country and are living in neighboring countries. Yeah. And so we've set up Flexport.org, which is our humanitarian arm, is now delivering products that are to UNICEF and a handful of Doctors Without Borders, a handful of other great on-the-ground aid agencies and nonprofits that are doing distribution. And we've set up a fund of $25 million that was donated by our investors and over 60,000 people, actually, across the world, to provide free logistics for those organizations to get life-saving merchandise, life-saving products, as well as just things that are needed in refugee camps that you wouldn't think about, but diapers and baby wipes. And it turns out they have enough food, but there's a lot of other stuff they don't have. And we've been delivering those. We even delivered 9 ambulances into Ukraine to help with the humanitarian crisis. So that lets us, I think these kind of crises let us, as a logistics platform, show off our capabilities and make us feel great. Like, because usually we're just delivering cardboard boxes. It's not very exciting, but now we get to feel like we have a real impact.
Mm. Speaking of impact, what has the impact been on clients on the ground? I mean, I'm sure that they are facing difficulties as well, just as a result of the general global economy. So what are the problems there, and how might you be helping them overcome those?
Yeah, I mean, we still are seeing the same problems throughout of just delayed transit times and really elevated prices. And so on the prices, there's not a lot we can do. We fight really hard to get the best pricing we can from the ship owners and airlines and trucking companies. And we do better than average. We do better than most. But at the end of the day, the market price is going to be – we don't really set that. But on transit time, we can really help both get predictability, as I mentioned before, but also route around some of the congestion. So, for example, you're seeing real delays at the port of Long Beach, which is the biggest container port in the United States, where it's taking about 20 days extra to clear goods through that port right now. And there are other ports that, are less than a day away. For example, the port of Oakland, where it's a 5-day delay. And so by being able to show clients that data, help them make that decision, you can help them route around some of the congestion. Mm. We're currently seeing lots of problems in China with the shutdowns that they're doing to contain COVID. So helping clients understand that impact, the route thing. So if the port of Shanghai is closed, we may be able to find a trucking route that goes out of Ningbo or a different port. So lots of all this congestion and complexity creates some degree of opportunity for us to help clients and route around it and solve for it.
Mm. Ryan Peterson, founder and CEO of Flexport, is on the line with us. We're talking about supply chain issues and how tech can solve it, especially post-COVID, right? Tech has become sexy and people want to invest in it. What's the investment landscape like that you've experienced? How's it like to raise funds in this current landscape with your product?
Raising money is never fun. It's you always love yourself more than other people love you. It's a great moment to find that out. You kind of have your ego put back in your face. So we were pretty lucky with our timing. We raised about $935 million at the beginning of this year, and we did that with some great investors. Shopify wrote the biggest check, the e-commerce platform, as well as Andreessen Horowitz and Founders Fund. So some of the top venture funds in the world invested in Flexport. But, it looks really easy and successful, and the valuation was great and everything, but it was a really, really hard process. Got a lot of people very concerned about the state of supply chain. Prices are really high. They were worried, hey, what's going to happen to this business when prices come back down? Right now your solutions are really in demand because of all the supply chain congestion, but to customers, what does this world look like when things return to normal? And I kind of had to show them that, well, we've never really seen a normal in supply chain. We've had trade wars and strikes and the natural disasters, and there's always a real reason why technology is needed to help businesses manage these processes.
Mm. And even during normal times, something like that could help make things a lot easier, right? Increase efficiencies even further. But the fact is that all of these things have ripple effects around the world. How would you describe Singapore's place in all of this, and how you might be investing in this region as well in order to take the business forward?
Well, Singapore was really sort of built as a hub for global trade. It's really deeply embedded into the geography, into the culture, into the government's mindset here, and all the great businesses that are built. So I think it's a no-brainer when, if you draw a map and you said, hey, let's build look at the world map and sort of say, let's build a network to where are you going to put your key hubs for consolidating freight, for putting talent. Like, Singapore is just like an obvious, you can't miss it. So we've known that for a long time. We opened up here a few years ago. We've been investing quite a bit. Starting to get more I'm in Singapore right now. Part of the reason I'm here is to meet with government, meet with some of the great companies like the airlines and the port, PSA, Singapore Airlines, to say, hey, where can we partner? How can we build things? Understand their agenda. I mean, the plans at Changi Airport to expand there and at PSA to build this megaport on the other side of the island are just so impressive. So we want to be part of that. Can we put in physical logistics infrastructure here? How do we get, make some long-term investments to get access to some of the great real estate that's going to come online to be able to put a logistics hub in the city, and then bring our technology. I think the government's really excited to be a technology leader for global logistics, and we see ourselves as that leader right now. So we really want to be. I think there's a natural reason for us to partner here and invest big time.
And welcome to Singapore. We've got some good food, too, that's been affected by supply chain. You can help us. Ryan, just a final question. And I want you to talk to students for this question. How do you see the landscape of the shipping industry, the supply chain industry, changing for the student that's graduating now? Where should they place their efforts in?
I think it's finally getting the attention that it's due. We sort of take supply chain for granted. It's you don't really notice it until it stops working. And it doesn't work as well as you might think.
Yeah.
We kind of think, like, if you flip that little light switch by you, there's a power plant somewhere giving you more on demand, more electricity. That power plant is actually getting a little bit hotter, generating a little bit more power, and you don't have to think about it. It's just there. Well, the supply chains, you also don't really think about it. It's just kind of there. You order a product, it arrives, you go to a store, they have stuff on the shelves. But actually, it's not that beautifully automated, complex orchestration. There's a lot of people in the chain and not enough technology. There's a lot of people emailing Microsoft Excel files and PDFs to factories to, like, place more orders. And there's huge opportunities to come and streamline some of these processes, bring modern technology. It is an ancient industry. It's thousands of years old, certainly hundreds of years old right here in Singapore. And it's kind of hard to change things that have been around for a long time that have kind of worked. It's easier to build something brand new than it is to kind of change an existing organization, existing process. And yet, we really need that technology. We need young people who are excited about technology, who want to come and build new things, who want to be a part of changing an industry that's really fundamental and important for humanity.
We've been speaking with Ryan Peterson, founder and CEO of Flexport. Thank you so much, Ryan, for joining us this morning. You stay safe and take care, yeah?
Likewise. Thank you all.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO, available on Google Play or the App Store.